Your name is David Caravaggio, right? They had handcuffed him to the thick legs of an oak table. At one point he rose with it in his embrace, blood pouring away from his left hand, and tried to run with it through the thin door and falling. The woman stopped, dropping the knife, refusing to do more. The drawer of the table slid out and fell against his chest and all its contents, and he thought perhaps there was a gun that he could use. Then Ranuccio Tomassoni picked up the razor and came over to him. Caravaggio, right? He still wasn't sure. As he lay under the table, the blood from his hands fell into his face, and he suddenly thought clearly and slipped the handcuff off the table leg, flinging the chair away to drown out the pain, and then leaning to the left to step out of the other cuff. Blood everywhere now, his hands already useless. For months afterwards he found himself looking at only the thumbs of people, as if the incident had changed him just by producing envy. But the event had produced age, as if during the one night when he was locked to that table they had poured a solution into him that slowed him. He stood up dizzy above the dog, above the red wine-soaked table. Two guards, the woman, Tomassoni, the telephones ringing, ringing, interrupting Tomassoni, he would put down the razor, caustically whisper, "Excuse me," and pick up the phone with his bloody hand and listen. He had, he thought, said nothing of worth to them, but they let him go, so perhaps he was wrong. And then he had walked along the Via di Santo Spirito to the one geographical location he had hidden away in his brain, walked past Brunelleschi's church towards the library of the German Institute, where he knew a certain person would look after him. Suddenly he realized this was why they had let him go. Letting him walk freely would fool him into revealing this contact. He arced into a side street, not looking back, never looking back. He wanted a street fire, so he could staunch his wounds, hang them over the smoke from the tar cauldron, so black smoke would envelop his hands. He was on the Santa Trinita Bridge. There was nothing around, no traffic, which surprised him. He sat on the smooth balustrade of the bridge, then lay back. No sounds. Earlier, when he had walked, his hands in his wet pockets, there had been the manic movement of tanks and jeeps. As he lay there, the mind bridge exploded, and he was flung upwards and then down as part of the end of the world. He opened his eyes, and there was a giant head beside him. He breathed in, and his chest filled with water. He was underwater. There was a bearded head beside him in the shallow water of the Arno. He reached towards it, but couldn't even nudge it. Light was pouring into the river. He swam up to the surface, parts of which were on fire. When he told Hannah the story later that evening, she said, "They stopped torturing you because the Allies were coming. The Germans were getting out of the city, blowing up bridges as they left." "I don't know. Maybe I told them everything. Whose head was it?" There were constant phone calls into that room. There would be a hush, and the man would pull back from me, and all of them would watch him on the phone, listening to the silence of the other voice which we could not hear. Whose voice? Whose head? They were leaving, David. She opens The Last of the Mohicans to the blank page at the back and begins to write in it. "There is a man named Caravaggio, a friend of my father's. I have always loved him. He is older than I am, about 45, I think. He is in a time of darkness. He has no confidence. For some reason, I am cared for by this friend of my father." She closes the book and then walks down into the library and conceals it in one of the high shelves.